Hey, everybody, this is Dylan. We've had some personal issues and some minor audio hiccups crop up this week, so we're not going to have a proper episode. Instead, we're releasing some bonus content. Over on Patreon, I always upload my notes for every encounter. They are pen and paper because I am an old, old man. We don't have notes for the Flump encounter for reasons that will become clear very shortly. So instead, Aram and I had a quick conversation about the encounter as it ran. And then we had another conversation about other things, and another conversation about other things. So here's the deal, Aram. I am supposed to do our notes for every session, right?
Correct.
The Flump was a problem.
Because it's not your game.
I'm glad that you've stumbled into this problem, because for the benefit of the listener, assuming that you just throw this out there, semi-edited at best, we were rotating seats, essentially. We were supposed to rotate seats. I become you, you become the guest becomes me. So Alex was going to run the game. I was going to try to murder you, and you were going to be the monster. Except we had that conversation separate from Alex, and I forgot to bring it up to him. I think I mentioned it to him once when we were first setting up the episode. So we got in there and we start recording and we got down to it. And then we stopped and went, oh shit, no one built a character and no one planned this session.
Right. I was ready. I was very ready.
You were very ready because you're a piece of shit.
Yes.
And you were just waiting to continue to be a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that about you.
Half of the joy of this episode was causing you pain. I mean, there's no denial about that. But the other half was my genuine joy for the Flump.
And this is something where, like, we both play up in given directions. Like, we have a shtick and we lean into it.
Yes.
Just so that it's out there, I don't care about the Flump at all. It actually doesn't bother me that much. It's just strange to me because it does have a lot of potential. It's why I'm mad about it. In the little bit that I am, is because, like, this could be a cool thing, but you didn't do any of it. When I say the Flump is a bad monster, I say it has a, I mean that it has a lot of potential and lives up to none of it.
And just so the audience knows, I am every bit as happy when I aggravate Dylan. I am 100% on the level. It's who I am.
I was leaning into a character and Aram was being himself. Didn't split there.
I mean, I vamp, no lie. I do act it up. I know what people expect of me, but it's also like fully within my heart. Like, it's never hard.
Absolutely.
The joy is just there.
And that's, again, the wonderful feedback is when I'm not quite as real bitter as I'm playing into, you're being enough of a shit that I'm not resentful of the monster or the thing that we're talking about. I'm resentful of you. Shut up for a minute so I can get this, you know?
I can draw it out of you every time. It's wonderful. To be fair, I could draw it out of a lot of people, but I'm particularly good at drawing it out of you.
It's a good bit. It works.
It gives clear signposts for the audience. The audience knows where we're going to generally land. They can have expectations of us, and it does make the show easier to listen to.
It's the same as any sort of talk show radio bullshit where it's like you have a character. You have a character the audience can know, and it's like close enough to me that it doesn't feel disingenuous for me or the audience. But it's also a little bit of a lie, just like a tiny bit.
All right, so the most wonderful creature that ever was to be.
That session had to get planned. Like, all of them have a certain amount of, like, we talk to the guest and then it gets rejiggered a little bit. That had to get planned literally as we were walking into it.
And it would be a hard one to reschedule because he is in China.
We realized this going into the recording. We realized it ahead of time. And I told you, take the Chul, we'll figure out something to do with it, but that'll basically give you meat.
The Chul butler was good.
The Chul butler was great. That was your call. I just gave you the Chul as, like I said, a fucking meat shield so that Alex wouldn't destroy you regardless of what level he walked in at.
If I had time to, like, think that out more, I would have said that somehow that Chul got, like, it was like, you know, a rock fell on him or got, you know.
Do the standard, it's got mind control, and then it took a shot to the head, and now the mind control snapped.
Right, and therefore I was able to, like, okay, hey, we're friends now, right? That kind of thing. But I think it got clear, and that would have paid off really well when he did the mind spike, because that made real sense why it just debilitated him. That little note would have been nice, but I don't think it was needed.
We have a lot of times where we set up cool little narrative hooks like that, and then immediately one of us goes, we don't have time for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
5 to 10 minutes of, like, Alex having a backstory and first walking in. Like, we did a fair bit of narrative that you dropped, and we still wound up with a pretty long episode. Giving the Chules backstory? What added value?
With Alex's character, all we needed to know was that when he was young, he was bullied, and some ominous force gave him a sword. That's all, and has been directing him ever since. We didn't need to know anything else.
It was a good call. I think I mentioned that to you when you put the episode up the first time. Like, it was just a good call.
There was a couple things about that episode, and there was a little aftermath, and I cut all of it because whenever we boxed in Rich, who's going to be playing the Aboleth, whenever we boxed him in story-wise, I peeled that back because I wanted to give a setup, but give him plenty of room.
Absolutely.
Do whatever he wanted to do with it, and that also gives room to then develop Alex's character more because I assume they're going to come back for the intro of that.
We pulled out a fair bit of stuff, but it was all the stuff that needed to go to give Rich space, to give us enough time to make an episode, all that shit.
The target is an hour. That's the target. That means we talked
so bad at it.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, my idea, like, if we had it perfect for the Banshee, frankly, we talked for 20 minutes, we played for 40.
And we nailed it for the Mimic as well.
Yep. It took a lot of cutting.
It took a lot of cutting.
Though, I cut way more than I would have. There were so many interesting conversations that are 100% going into a bonus episode that were about what we were talking, but weren't wholly germane.
They were about D&D.
Yeah.
It was still about the game. It was still about the ideas, but it wasn't about the Mimic anymore. And like,
yeah, it wasn't about the Mimic anymore. So they had to go. I want to keep these maximum an hour 20. When we get up to an hour 30, I feel like we're just producing something that's too long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with the Goblin episode, it was an hour 20. I don't think there was much to cut because there was just so much happening.
Yeah.
I feel the same way with the Doppelganger episode. There was just a lot of setup. Maybe a little bit of the back and forth in the beginning, but I really enjoyed it. It was a nice setup, but it never felt long.
The thing in most D&D podcasts that makes them run long is combat.
Right.
But the more non-combat stuff we have in the episode, the more I'm cool with it going long because I feel like really long combat can drag.
Agreed.
But at the end of the day, the gnome Miss Piggy moment or like Noir, like just generally like tagging the cops to go like, hey, go harass the centaur.
That was a fantastic thing. And then being able to then play Uno reverse and having the cops turn around and walk me to their door. That was like 10 minutes, but that was a great 10 minutes.
We could have cut it. We could have got it more direct centaur to the front door, but like, it was worth having in there. It still felt fast, even if it added time.
It felt fast, and it also felt exactly what the doppelganger would do. Like, every step of the way, that felt authentic to the character. There was no padding just to play up an ability. There was, I have to interact with this threat in the most indirect way possible, and this is how I'm going to do it.
For my end of planning the flump session, it was literally, I have to give Aram something so that he won't die in one hit. Right? Like, so that's where the Chul came from.
Still almost did. I mean,
the fact that he didn't is astonishing. Especially because, like, he could have killed you with any given spell.
Anything. Anything at all. But he stabbed me for 6 hit points, so I was just hanging on.
Basically, I came in and I told him, like, all right, we're dealing with a psionic thing. The most reasonable character to just throw into this is a warlock.
Yeah.
Which also gave us the plot hook of a deep old one and, like, gave me a way to... Because this was my other concern, and it really, really came through. This is, and not a complaint, you did a good job with it, but the flump is not an aggressor.
No.
And if you're just exploring the caves and you run into a flump, if it's not your inherent reaction to stab the monster,
right,
there's no reason for that fight to start.
As soon as conversation starts, combat's not going to begin. The yeah. only way to make it happen was to have him have a voice in his head saying, you have to kill this thing.
So that's why I pushed for the deep old one. And Alex, I mean, Alex and I have played D&D together for forever. We ran the first game I ever played in together. He was better a Rom, who wasn't such a fucking pain in my ass and was actually useful.
I can see that. I can see that with him. Yeah, especially because, like, within 5 minutes of the episode, he was completely on my side.
absolute betrayal. That's one of the reasons why I'm really glad we picked him for this episode, is because the moment I came in and I was like, listen, I fucked up. I'm supposed to have a better plan than this. I need you to work with me. He was immediately just like, yes, okay, what's our angle? What are we doing? Let's do it.
The fact that you two worked together so well was very clear.
It saved the episode.
To have, like, well, I mean, also just have a guest host. Just to have a guest host walk into a show and to have them be so calm and collected and so easy to work with, I think that was perfect.
We sat down and that's what we came up with, was give him the blade lock because it's the simplest build. You don't have to. And we literally built that character in 10 minutes between the interview and the play. It was like you took your headphones off and went to another room real quick.
But that's the best thing about a blade lock. It's why I love playing them so much. They do two big things and then they've got a bunch of things they can do all the time, and they can always summon a sword whenever they need it. So if the whole party gets disarmed and put in a dungeon, you can still see. I mean, it's just a cool thing to play and a great entry point for new players.
I've never actually played a patron that like directly, and I kind of loved it.
When I was doing, when I was beginning to do Rivals of Waterdeep, my whole plot for that was for the warlock of the group, for their patron to be the little goldfish that lives in Xanathar's fishbowl. So it's not even Xanathar, it's actually the goldfish, yeah. Right? And that the whole time Xanathar has been tricked by this ancient, powerful force that it's been using him the whole time too. It was going to be amazing. But whenever there's a warlock in the party, you play it directly. You find some deep, scary voice, or you do some voice modulation in the edit and you go with it.
I always did a lot of, like, you know, the quiet voice in the back of your head, the occasional chuckle, the little insight, but having the thing just be at the back of his head, like, no, kill the flump. Do it immediately. Yeah. If you don't kill it, I will take control of your fucking hands and I will kill it myself. I liked the way that played. I would talk it through with the players ahead of time and make sure they're comfortable with that, because that can feel like a major invasion of autonomy, but especially with an old one. Like, that felt so right for that character, you know?
Especially in the medium we're working with, in the podcast medium, where I could then take your audio and bring it up and bring it down, add that growl under it, add that deep reverberation, especially when we got into that point where I'm in his head and you're in his head and we're battling for that point. That just edited together. So, and if you listen to the raw audio, it's fine. But with the effects, it sounds amazing.
We literally got to the end of that session and the three of us all went like, okay, you're going to edit that and it's going to be incredible. And Alex, like, I could see it when he was playing, and like, if I didn't know Alex as well as I did, I would have cut it sooner.
Yeah.
But you could see, like, we were overwhelming him a little bit. We were just like...
He said he was overwhelmed. Yeah.
No, that was the thing, was at the end of it, he was like, no, it was perfect. I loved it, but it was legitimately kind of scary. And it's just like...
Good.
Yeah, good.
That's fantastic. If we could pull that off, then, I mean, you and I are not actors. If we could pull that off, it works well.
It's also a fine line to walk. So, like, again, anybody listening to this who wants to try that with players, fucking watch yourself. Because, again, Alex is one of my oldest friends, so I can read him reasonably well. I know him pretty well, and I still pushed it. It was a fucking risky move, and I would have felt absolutely terrible if we took it a step further.
If it was a live game, I don't think you would have. With a friend that you know, in a way that we could then go back and edit and take things out, you made the right call. But it is a really fine line. It's why it's so important to have lines and veils and session zero.
Have the X card, because, like, again, that was like, Alex knows that he can stop me at any point. If that's a table, if I was at a convention, especially, like, even if you put the X card on the table, there's a risk that someone feels uncomfortable and will not stop you. And then you take it a step too far and it's just bad. At that point, you've ruined the game for the player. You will feel guilty and it'll ruin your memory of the game. And depending on how bad it got out of hand, then you've killed the session entirely. Like, you want to leave with at least one fucking person having fun, and that killed the game for everybody.
Is it fun to put someone off balance in a place where everyone feels safe and they're all enjoying the story and we all trust each other? Yes, it is. It's fun to be put off balance. It's fun to have something happen that is maybe a little bit more than you expected, but not more than you can handle. That is a fun place to be in with another person, as long as we're all on the same team. again, with Alex, we knew we could go there because you trusted. Well, you know you could go there. I was simply trusting you. It worked, but you do need an ejection lever for if it doesn't. And also because with all of our players, with all of our guests, we up front tell them if there's anything you're uncomfortable with, A, we'll stop playing, but B, we'll also edit it out. And if you listen to this episode and you're uncomfortable with the whole thing, like you realize this is not something I would have done, we pull the whole episode and we tell every guest that up front.
I personally think that turned out as well as it could have for the fact that, honestly, I had no plans for the flumph. I just threw it to you and you ran with it.
I did.
Even the Chul Butler thing was something where, like, I think I jokingly said the word butler and then you just latched on. So like,
I was really kind of pushing for like, how am I going to play this? And as soon as you said butler, I was like, yep, that works. That's perfect.
I'm going to put it to you. We basically ran that game together. What would you have done differently? Is there something you would have done in the setup to like clean up the way it ran?
No, I think I defined that character. It was the first time I rotated out of the co-host seat.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to then be the quote unquote guest and to play from that angle. So we were just going to see what was going to work. I knew what I wanted to play. I had a very firm idea of the kind of flump I wanted to be. And the whole time in the talk part, when Alex is like, yeah, you're humanizing them, you know, too much, and they should be more alien. And I'm agreeing with them because that's true.
Yeah.
But also I knew the Disney character I was going to play in 10 minutes.
It's the two options. You always have the option of leaning into the alien or leaning into the goofy. And like, the goofy works really well for single sessions or NPCs. My major gripe with the flump, even like if you left the stats identical, is just the fact that they're so like adjacent to danger that they cannot handle, right? But if you have something that's sufficiently fun, you can short circuit your player's brain and they won't think about how it doesn't belong.
Absolutely.
And I think you nailed that, where like at the end of the day, I didn't question why you had control over the Chul. You just did. Like, that was fine. We said the word butler and everyone at the table was like, yeah, that's his butler. Of course it is.
He has little tea parties with that Chul.
Of course he does. I hate that so much.
He doesn't drink the tea ever. Like, we never got to get to that point, but he just makes tea for other people. There were all these things about Flumphrey where I wanted to underline that he is a lawful good creature. A creature that has an entire tea set and knows how to brew tea and has the stuff to brew tea, even though they would never, ever drink it. Only for other people is a lawful good creature. A creature that after you stabbed it, after you tried to kill it, and still, even after he's defending himself and begging for his life, you still kill him. He's still like, okay, look, I still believe in you. I know you can do this. I know you've made a bad choice here and you've made probably a lot of them, but I'm telling you, I've seen the good in you and I believe in you, just before he dies at their hand. That is a lawful good creature.
Absolutely. And I think you can do the exact same thing on the other end of it, where if you lean into the alien, and God, we saw it a couple of times. There's a couple of lines out of Flumphrey that come out absolutely ominous.
Terrifying.
Where it's like having a creature that is creepy and completely like foreign, you just do not understand it. And then having it turn to you and go like, but I believe in you and I know you'll make the right choices.
Yeah.
And then slip straight back into weird psychic babble. It'll throw players off their game and it's a fantastic way to handle it. But again, it constraints the format. We have an hour. You playing something that feels truly alien isn't going to fly.
We have like 40 minutes. If we're keeping to the hour, we got 40 minutes, but really yeah. That ends up stretching to an hour. To an hour 20. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I think the longest the AP has been is an hour, because there's no episode that's been over maybe an hour 10. I think for the doppelganger, it ended up being around an hour 10 and then 20 minutes of talk about the doppelganger. That seems heavy. I don't think we should go past that.
I reference it at the beginning of every episode, but like I'm a physicist. Like, I have classes. I have research that I'm trying to get done. Like, I also like need to learn to edit to like get some of the bonus content done, but like I'm not going to learn to edit up to your caliber.
Well, and nor should you, because it's stupid and no one should. James from One Shot, when I told him how much time I put into it, he turned to me and he said, I only put in 2 hours for every one. If there's 1 hour of show, I've put in 2 hours. Now that to me seems low, and I think he's lowballing what he actually does, but it is a reminder to me that once you get past like 8 to 1, 10 to 1, 12 to 1. You're doing too much.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe a little bit of rum. Maybe you could cool it.
My goal is eight to one. And again, that is a lot of production, but I think 8 to 1 gives you a product that is, I'm not going to say better. I think better is pejorative, but I think that it gives you a product that is up to the production standards of what I like to listen to. But I think it's what other people like too.
The other bit of context that kind of takes the pejorative out of it is the fact that, like, it's stuff that you hear. You are very much editing for yourself.
Yes.
There have been times where you've gone like, oh, Dylan, I fixed the audio. And then you've sent me two files back to back. And I've gone, sure you did, buddy.
But it's there. It's fucking there.
I'm going to quickly just double check these file names. Okay, they are supposed to be different. Got it. Cool.
When you listen to those, did you listen to them on the headphones you're wearing right
yes.
now?
Yes. I only listen to things on my headphones.
When I send you files, when we're at our desktops, we've got our proper headphones on, we're in a room, it's quiet, okay? I listen to these episodes on these headphones first, then on speakers in my room as I do my second pass through. Then I export the episode, I drop it into my iPod, I put in my little Apple Bluetooth thing, because I know that that's the majority of the way our people listen. They listen on cheap in-ear AirPods, probably Bluetooth, from their phones. And I go for a walk in public. I go for a walk downtown and all around until the episode's done. And when I've heard it those three ways, I know what it actually sounds like. And I'm telling you, it varies greatly. Like, you can listen to something, it's like, it sounds great. And then you listen to it on speakers in the room. You're like, where's all the bass? I cut out way too much. Where is it? You just, you need to, I mean, okay, need is a, okay. Do you need to do this? No.
Yeah.
If you're going to produce what I want to produce, I need to do this. It's for me. But I also know that it's for that 10% of people who hear things the way I hear them.
I will never stop making fun of you for it.
That's fine.
But it's also like, I get why you do it. There's a lot of stuff that just bothers me and only me, and I'm doing it for my benefit. It's what makes me so fucking grateful for everybody who's given us, like, feedback and, like, listen to this show. Because legitimately, we started this show going into the pandemic when I was bored as fuck. And I didn't, like, I wasn't playing any RPGs. And I just wanted an opportunity to shout about cool monsters. Because some of the designs in the monster manual just annoy me. Like, these monsters are so cool in concept and their mechanics don't match up, or this mechanic is so cool but no one ever uses this monster, so no one ever talks about it. Again, Nothic season 2, so good. Thank you, Sin. But that was it was like, we're doing this show because I just wanted to yell about stuff that made me excited, and then people got excited about me yelling, and I'm still baffled. I appreciate it, but I'm also confused by you fucking people.
I am hugely appreciative. I mean, I went into this show knowing what I wanted to produce and made very distinct decisions along the way, but I am still impressed and surprised by how quickly the show has been embraced by so many people, especially people who also create, who also voice things, who we know and respect, who have just fully supported the show. And that feels really good.
I really expected to have a much harder time finding guests. I thought we were going to have to sell people on our weird nerd show. And there are so many cool people jumping on board with, like, the slightest provocation.
I think we had to explain the show a couple times. We've asked a couple people, but really people have come to us, and the level of people, and we can't talk about it yet, but the level of people who have started coming to us recently is mind-blowing.
I don't know. I'm not gonna get over that.
Me neither. I'm freaking out, dude. I've been freaking out for three
I'm not even talking
days.
About your thing. I'm talking about just the general, like, the cool people where I, like, listen to their podcasts, or, like, I see their art or their photos on Twitter, and then I'm like, hey, do you want to, like, it's kind of a dumb premise, and, like, do you just, we talk about monsters, do you want to come on our show? Like, I get it if you don't have time. And then, yeah, absolutely, I love this show. Like, what? oh good cool, yes, good.
From a producer viewpoint, these are the three things our show has that I think makes it really appealing. One, it's good. It's just good. It's a good show. Okay. And that is a big thing.
I don't disagree with you.
The show needs to be good for people to want to be on it. Two, we got some really key people early who were amazing, who really helped us format what the show was and showcase what it was to other people. And three, there is a limited amount of monsters. Not really. There's monsters forever, right? But by saying every monster in the manual, we make it sound finite. And because people's favorite monsters are going to pop up all the time, we've introduced a level of FOMO here, right? And I didn't plan on that. I didn't really think about that. But it's already, I think, to that point where people are like, I want to get in now and secure my monster.
There are so many episodes like that we don't have scheduled that are going to be really, really cool. But now just between the people and the monsters we currently have lined up, I'm so fucking...
We got, like, four recorded that I haven't even touched yet?
Here, I'll pull up the fucking spreadsheet real quick. So, beyond what has been released, there's Banana and the Jiangshi, there's the Nothic, the Troll, there's Amelia's episode where we did the skeleton and the zombie at the same time, because quite frankly, that's not going to work for two episodes. They're the same thing, basically.
Yeah.
The Unicorn, like you mentioned, and the Vampire for the end of season one.
Got six recorded, man. Okay, they're all great, by the way. All of them are great. So much fun.
No, every time I read the list, I get excited again. And we've got four more scheduled. I forgot to change the color for the oozes. We're doing that at the end of the month.
And we've got the Coatl and now the, oh, and the Cambion.
Coatl just before, in terms of things that are actually scheduled.
Yes.
Coatl, Myconid, Pixie, oozes.
Myconids are going to be fun.
It'll be really cool to talk to Jen about it too.
And that's another thing. The guests are amazing. They're all so good. Like even for the... Like, especially for things like
I love
where
that this was supposed to be makeup content for the fact that I didn't have time to do notes and we've turned it into a trailer for the rest of the thing. That's not a complaint. I'm just like, it's.
But like for the Quato episode, how we have a writer from Star Trek Discovery as the main guest and then an actual Maya archaeologist for the middle break where we talk to an expert, that brings my heart such joy that we can take that very, very special creature and give it the due it so rightly deserves.
The creatures that like are just in the monster manual that no one touches on or no one really thinks about. And then you find out, like, oh, this is a whole thing. Like people really want to talk about this. Like, even to the lesser degree of like the dragon turtle, where we like scheduled the entire episode and then found out that the dragon turtle isn't just a series of words some writer slammed together and it was a thing. And we were
both of us let that get right past us. Yep.
Had to immediately scramble and be like, fuck, is there a huge like cultural significance? Is there a context that we need to pay due to because we were not aware of this?
And of course there is. And like just looking back on things like, you know, all these cultural hits like Gamera or other large turtle creatures that have, we've seen this image over and over again. Why didn't one of us think, of course there's a cultural tie-in?
Bowser.
One of us should have thought about this. And fortunately, Glazia is so cool that she was like, look, you know, people have made this mistake. Ha ha. She didn't say like, you're idiots.
Which is true.
Which is what she should have said, but she didn't. She was really cool about it. And now we get to make a better episode because we sought out a really, well, because frankly, a really smart guest came to us, wanted to play this creature, and then informed us what we were doing.
We lucked out on that one.
We did. We really, really did. Well, we've lucked out throughout this entire thing where we've had amazing guests who have been incredibly willing. I mean, the Banshee episode, we knew a little bit about Banshees, but Orla came in, NPR level expert, and basically taught a class on what a Banshee was. And it was amazing. Another point on Orla's episode, I talked to her recently. The old man has died. The team is in the finals. I don't know what's happened there. But if they do win, we'll have her back on for a little thing and we'll give you an update.
That's fantastic.
I think we're done here.
Yeah, let's call it there. They should be happy with that. Sorry about the notes, guys.
Look, you're not going to get handwritten notes on every single one, but on all the other ones, there will be. Also, I think the Incubus, we skipped it because it was just, we had a bonus episode.
We'll get you something, guys.
Yeah, you'll always get something.
We said we would, so we'll do it.
You want to know anything else about the show? Head on over to killeverymonster.com. And we'll see you next time on Kill.
We're doing that.
Every Monster. You got to
do that
along
for the intro.
We're going to do it now. We'll see you next time for Kill
Every Monster.